And we have returned. I hope you didn't wait up all night. Just listen to us, because we are going to tell you some scary stories tonight. That's right. It's the Halloween edition of the Battling Jesters podcast. Just kidding.
A little early for Halloween, but hey, who knows? It may be. Maybe once a month.
You can wait. And, hey, look, at least it's not the Christmas edition. I'm sure there are radio stations already playing Christmas music, so...
That's in whatever that one station that plays it year-round anyway.
Right. Anyways, his name is Eddie.
And that guy is Jesse.
And we are back. Sorry about the long layoff. We're back with some really good news stories for you today. How are you doing, Ed?
I am doing wonderful. How are you?
I am fantastic. I finished moving over the weekend, so my body is grateful for this little break.
Moving back, huh?
Moving on back.
Sounds like a plan. Well, I'm... just ready for Friday for the hockey season.
That's right. Hockey season is coming up. I'm sure we'll have a hockey podcast somewhere along the line.
As always.
All righty. So, you want to get started?
Sure. Let's get into those news stories.
The first story we have is... All right. So, we've got a guy here. His name is Derek Nance. He's from Lexington, Kentucky. The headline of this article reads, "I only eat raw meat. Meet the man who butchers animals himself and even brushes his teeth with their fat to feed bizarre food addiction."
This must be the manliest man on the planet.
Or the creepiest man on the planet. Right
off the picture, totally creepy.
Right off the bat, there is a picture of him. His teeth are bloodstained red. He looks like a guy driving around in a windowless van with free candy painted on the side.
It would only be better if the mustache was fully grown.
No kidding. A little 3 days growth going on there and a semi-mullet.
Yeah.
So anyways, I'm just going to read the first little bit of this before you all get grossed out. Please don't turn this off. We promise there's better stuff after this. I should say less gross stuff. A man has told how he's eaten only raw meat for the past 5 years after a mystery illness caused him to develop an unusual appetite for bloody animal carcasses. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. For 5 years, Derek Nance from Lexington, Kentucky, has only eaten raw animal meat and says that he even brushes his teeth with animal fat in a bid to feed an odd food addiction in his training to become a butcher.
And he says that he claims that he never gets sick of eating the same thing and feels better than ever, adding that the idea of cooked meat no longer appeals to him. It just tastes burnt.
So essentially, this guy is a werewolf. we'll start with that. Honestly, I wouldn't even look up this story if you are the faint of heart. There are some fairly graphic pictures here. He said he'd been sick for a while. He said he had a couple goats in his yard that he was using for milk. He got tired of milking them, so he slaughtered them.
It makes perfect sense.
If that doesn't scream serial killer, I don't know what does. So anyways, he says the blood is great. It's rich in vitamin C.
How is it rich in vitamin C?
Look, man, I'm not going to argue with this guy or else he's going to end up drinking me. So I think the best part of this story, in my opinion, it says, adding to the bizarre twist, Mr. Nance's girlfriend, Joanne, is a vegetarian.
Clearly. That makes
perfect sense.
Of course
she is. It makes the shopping easy. Only buy meats, only buy vegetables. They look normal.
Opposites attract.
They only... Yeah. And honestly, if you look at the picture, the two of them, they look like a fake couple.
Totally fake. I think that's not his girlfriend.
That cannot be his girlfriend. She's
like
an elderly-looking Chinese lady. And he's this creepy-looking, give kids candy
from
home.
He bought her for a day.
Yeah. Hopefully she isn't slaughtered.
Yeah.
They had to have something in there to make the story not creepy, because there's essentially pictures of sheep organs.
Everything. In a cup.
Yeah. So, do you think you could do this?
I'm close to a meatitarian, but I do not eat everything completely raw. That just seems like asking to be sick.
Yeah, I like meat, yes. There are some days when a good steak really hits the spot. I also like hamburgers.
Yeah.
I also like meat stuffed into things, like chicken cordon bleu. I mean, bread is good for you. Yeah, well, that's the real meat man's delight.
But I like it cooked.
Right. Exactly. Could you imagine a turducken raw?
I think he'd be sick.
Good God.
In a heartbeat.
That's a lot of meat.
Yeah.
Well, he takes care of himself, so good for Mr. Nance. I couldn't do it.
He brushes his teeth with fat.
I couldn't do it. I'm not saying that I love vegetables. I could ever eat salad every day. But, I mean, fruits and bread are, like, two of the very important parts of a good diet.
Potato. Just one potato
every
once in a while.
Just one potato, bro. just a couple of grapes. You'll be all right.
Yeah,
they're good, too. Imagine if he, like, ate a strawberry.
Oh, my God. He'd freak out.
Imagine if he ate a strawberry. It would be, like, it would either be a shutdown of his system or a complete and total mouth orgasm.
I think he might turn into a serial killer at that point.
All right, so I'm done with this story. That's a fun
creepy,
one.
Creepy, freaky, and only in Kentucky.
Yeah, so battling jesters.
The other place it could have been would have been West Virginia.
We always bring you the good news that you love, and the sad thing is that's really close to Ohio where we're based.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so
the next one, which was a much more positive story.
A really cool story, too.
Is a man drove a car 3 million miles. One car on one engine.
One car.
Man is named Irv Gordon,
mm-hmm.
and he has a red 1966 Volvo P18.
It's a pretty car.
He broke the Guinness Book of World Records back in, like, 92 or something like that.
2002, it says.
2002, when he put 2 million on it. So he went another 10, 12 years driving his car, and he's now got 3 million miles.
No big deal.
He put the 3 million mark someplace in Alaska.
Of course. I think you'd have to drive to Alaska to get there.
He's been just, ever since he retired from his job, which I believe was a school teacher, he's just been driving around all around the country. Just driving everywhere to go and stopping off and doing whatever he does. He was on the Today Show just this past week. On the morning show, just talking about the 3 million miles. That is amazing.
I remember in 2002, when he crossed the 2 million mark, I remember reading about this and thinking about how cool it was. This guy loves his car. And I tell you what, if everybody else in the world would put this much care into their car, it would probably go a lot further. Because there are so many people that just drive the car home, take it to the shop for maintenance, whatever. This guy puts his heart and soul into this thing.
He says even in the thing, he didn't have to do a whole lot. He just bought a quality car to begin with, and he just followed the owner's manual.
Yeah.
The people that wrote that book are the people that built the car.
The guy knows
his
stuff.
They knew exactly what to do at every single point, so he did them.
The thing that gets me is that engine, same engine, 3 million miles on the same engine.
Yeah, that is
hello.
Crazy.
If you open that thing up, it's made of solid something. It's a super. I don't even know what to say. I was trying to think of a great superhero comparison. I got nothing.
Unobtainium.
Unobtainium. Exactly. Thank you. Solid unobtainium. It will never die. You know how he'll die? He'll drive the darn thing off a cliff.
He's wanting to drive it to Hawaii if he could. But.
Oh, man. That'll be how he dies. He'll reach senility. He'll be going for 4 million. Just got to make it to the first Hawaiian island.
He's driven the car in 5 European countries, so he's obviously taken it on a boat. So he's probably going to go to Hawaii and drive it on at least the big island. So that is amazing. Wow.
Today's Carson Daly asked him how much money he would take for the car right now. He said $1 a mile on the odometer, and you can take it home tonight.
That's probably worth it at that point.
He also says the best way to explore America is by car, which I agree.
Totally 100%.
I agree. This guy is pretty cool. This is a great story.
He looks like your New Yorker beyond belief, though. He does.
He definitely does look like he's from Long Island. So, does your odometer go to 3 million?
No, but it goes. I don't think it even goes past 100,000. I think it has to rotate at 100,000.
Now,
so.
And you realize that in 1966, they didn't have digital odometers.
Yeah.
That was the little rolling, spinning odometer dial. Yeah.
So it rolled over 10 times to get to 1 million.
That's the thing. On his car, and unfortunately I don't see a picture of it, just a still shot. I'm pretty sure there's a picture of it in the video, but I didn't watch the video. I just read the article. Apparently, Volvo must have known what they were doing if they, you know, crafted a car with million on the odometer.
Can I get a P18 from 1966?
No, that's pretty crazy stuff. So, good on you, Irv Gordon.
That many miles is taking him a trip to the Earth and Moon 6 times.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Crazy talk.
Eat that, George Jetson.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Guess they really don't build the stuff like they used to.
Yeah, you know, that's I would say the phrase unbelievable gets thrown around a lot in our society for things that are relatively believable. 3 million miles on a single car, on a single engine.
That's inconceivable.
That's inconceivable. Exactly. That is mind-boggling goodness.
Oh,
so,
amazing stuff.
Yeah, so good for that guy taking care of his car.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's what a little bit of elbow grease will get you in life, I guess.
So now back to a little bit of a dark story, which will be quite...
Dark story, yeah.
I find it amusing just because the title alone. Headless, Pennsylvania man found headless and handless, was killed with an arrow through the heart.
It's worthwhile pointing out that he was killed with an arrow through the heart.
Yeah.
It's worthwhile pointing out that that's how he died. this is the news story that's kind of sweeping through the nation. You probably heard, if you've listened to radio or watched TV, you probably heard it or seen it somewhere along the line. A man in Pennsylvania was killed. They found his body, no head, no hands, stuffed into a metal drum in northwest Pennsylvania. Boy, these are close.
Yeah, Erie. It's close to Erie.
Yeah, that's not far from here.
Not at all.
So, the killer's name, what happened to his name? I lost it.
The person that is dead is
Gerald
Paul
Van Dyke.
And,
Richard Alfred Hui.
Yeah.
Who, if you look at his picture, he looks like he could kill somebody.
Oh, yeah,
he
looks like a killer.
You know, that's the kind of things you need to look for when you're looking at someone's face. Does this person look like someone who could chop me up? I don't know if he ate the rest of this guy, but,
probably threw the head and hands into the Lake Erie.
Yeah, so the story is, Mr. Van Dyke, the headless and the handless and the arrow through the heart. He shot him with a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have stabbed him with it. He shot him with a bow and arrow. I don't even have words for that. How does that even work? Hey, you. Shunk? Oh.
Crossbow. He was thinking he was
Daryl. Yeah, shunk. Ow.
He was thinking he was Daryl from The Walking Dead.
Right. Something like that. Hey, William Tell, come here. The story
missed the head.
The story is that Van Dyke was dating Hoy's daughter, and he was living with him.
Living with her, yeah.
Or living with them. And, well, I mean... But we can all guess how that story went. Somewhere an argument happened.
Something happened between the two.
And I'm wondering if, like, he just had the crossbow handy, the bow and arrow handy, and he just, oh, well, instead of a gun, he just, shunk. Oh! That's insanity.
And of course, the guy who's dead was a real good guy. He was a real nice guy.
Always. And I'm sure that Mr. Hoy was a quiet guy. And it's the quiet ones you have to look out for.
No, you're always looking at the loud and screaming ones.
Yeah, like George Carlin said, yeah. While you guys are over there watching the quiet one, there's some loud fuck with a machete on the bar going, I'll kill the next guy that walks in here. And you guys were watching the quiet one.
Yeah.
So that's too much. The daughter was saying, you know, it's one thing to have killed them, but... To remove the parts of the body? I mean, it's about as low as you can get, she said.
It sounds to me like he's just scared at that point. He realized that he's probably going to get caught, so he's trying to get rid of any identifying evidence of the body.
Right, and as police said, it would be difficult to identify the body because there were no parts left
to identify.
Right, no dental records,
fingerprints, no facial recognition.
But the fact that the guy's been missing,
kind of gives it away considering where the oil can was found that he was
right.
in.
maybe do a genital scan from the girlfriend.
Yeah.
He didn't have to. Here's the thing. Obviously, the guy wasn't cheating on him, because he would have ripped off the testicles too then, right? He would have castrated him.
Now, here's what's weird. Paul Van Dyke was 55. Huey was 68.
Right, so the daughter's somewhere in the 40s, probably.
So, what the hell is he even worried about his daughter at that point?
I don't know. I mean, I can understand the parental side of things with this, but... I don't know. I don't know. What I want to know is, how did they get to searching the drum? Did somebody smell something? Was it not well hidden? Was there a leg sticking out? I mean, how does this story come to justice? How do we find justice in this world? I don't know. We got people eating animals. We got people, well, not just eating animals, but brushing their teeth with animals' blood. We got... This is the most interesting Battling Jesters podcast ever.
So Hoy's daughter's name was Tina Skelton.
Mm-hmm.
And Skelton said that she admitted killing Van Dyke and might have dismembered his body.
Now, listen, I killed the guy, but I didn't chop him up. What kind of animal do you think I am?
Skelton said she told Van Dyke that she wanted to end their relationship, and the father just said, "Fuck it, I killed him."
That's all right. I took care of him for you.
It's all over.
What do you mean when you said you took care of him? Oh, I took care of him. I didn't mean that kind of taking care of. No, it's okay. I took care of him. Wink, wink.
And I'm sure Van Dyke's aunt says the news of the discovery was taken very hard by the family.
Yeah, like they needed to interview him. Ain't nobody got time for that. Oh, boy. I tell you what, I had an ex that tried to stab me once. I don't think she would have... I don't know. I think the shock factor of killing someone would kind of... That's it. But, I mean, this guy's apparently good with the tools. You sure this isn't the manliest of all the men there? Jeepers.
Well, he's 68, so yeah, maybe.
Seen some stuff, been some places, so...
Erie, Pennsylvania.
alright, so you want to move on to space?
Yeah, let's do that fun space story about Cassini Space Probe finds propylene on the moon of Titan.
That's right, plastic stuff in space.
Which clearly is from the planet Saturn.
There you go.
This past weekend we had this conversation and I was proven dead wrong.
I'm pretty good at this. Ed thought that Titan was the moon of Jupiter, and being someone who ran a planetarium for 2 years, I can tell you very sure Titan is Saturn. So, it's a pretty big moon.
Yep, and propylene is a key ingredient to almost every household plastic container.
That's right.
And it's been found in the atmosphere of that smoggy moon Titan.
Which is weird.
And, by the way, also the Marvel Titans are from that planet. Which
there you go.
One of them is Thanos, and then a whole bunch of other people.
Right.
But, so it's the first time this particular hydrocarbon has been detected on a world beyond Earth. So not just Earth will be a plastic bubble by the end of time.
Yeah.
Maybe Titans came from Titan and this, created plastic here.
So this is interesting. Apparently aliens that lived on Saturn, they had Tupperware parties too.
Yes.
Why not, right?
That's why I said maybe those...
Or not lived on Titan, but lived on... or Saturn, but Titan.
Yeah. Those Titans came to Earth and brought plastic with them.
Yeah.
Gave us the knowledge of plastic.
That's crazy. So, I mean, I know a lot of people have thrown that theory around that Titan, you know, has some connection to Earth because it's possibly habitable because it has water. Things like that.
And it's the same, similar size.
Right, except that it's billions of millions of miles further away and probably pretty cold.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, who knows? Crazier things have happened. It's pretty cool. Defined scientific significance has more to do with how chemistry works on Titan, which many scientists regard as an analog to the age on ancient Earth before oxygen became a significant ingredient in the atmosphere, which is science speak for what I just said. Reading the article here for you. It says, Titan as a whole is a very interesting chemical environment. Because there's no oxygen on Titan, it means
so
this...
nobody lives.
Right? Nobody that breathes oxygen. Because there's no oxygen on Titan, it means this organic chemistry can just keep running and running and running like a huge natural experiment, and it can keep building more and more complex chemicals. Which means there are things in Titan's atmosphere that we may not even have here.
Yeah.
Because it's just pumping out this crazy stuff with no oxygen to dissolve anything. You know, a lot of people don't think about that, but oxygen will wear on things and dissolve, so. But it says here that Voyager has detected... What?
I was just reading the next paragraph, yeah. Detected two chemicals, propane and propylene, that are closely related to propylene. And it's the story of the three bears, and you're missing the middle bear. Is what we knew that propylene had to be there. Unfortunately, the instruments on Voyager weren't sensitive enough.
Right. 32 years ago, Voyager had passed by and picked up those carbons, but
because it was between the two, they knew it was there, but Cassini proves it now that Cassini's gone and swung by that planet.
Yeah.
Or moon.
Isn't that some stuff, man?
Yeah.
So, basically... out there, there's plastic on Saturn. Somebody threw a plastic bag out, and it's kind of like Wally, you know.
Yeah. Just create more plastic in the universe.
Plastic everywhere, man. It says that the amount that they found is not a lot. The amount that they found is barely anything, but there's some.
Yeah.
And that's something that's never been found anywhere else outside of Earth.
And they're saying it is possible to produce amino acids on that planet, so therefore, maybe
life
in the future,
have started.
It can be livable.
Right, so...
So when our sun becomes a red giant, or whatever, when it comes after this stage that it's in, when it's large enough that we can actually live that far away.
Exactly.
Because it'll be scorching Earth at that point, so... Those are kind of interesting stories.
That's a good story. I like to talk about space. I like to talk about stuff like that. I like to, you know, this new place that I moved into doesn't have a lot of lights around it, so when you look up, you get a pretty good view of the sky.
Not bad at all.
So out there in Saturn, there are plastic bags or Tupperware. Take the pick.
Yep, and at this point, we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back with the second half hour here in a bit.
Yep, battling jesters, boom, boom, boom.
The common man and Torg? Nothing. They're a bunch of wannabes. The real Columbus radio sensation is the battling jesters, also known as Jesse and Eddie. They're kicking ass, they're taking names, they're getting ready to take over the Columbus airwaves. Go Battling Jesters!
Bow, 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 bow. Let's get it out.
Thanks to Marvin Gaye for that one. I hope we don't get in trouble for using his song for a few seconds there. We have returned. Our palates are wet.
Very much so.
Yeah, we're feeling better now. We've got... we'll say lighter stories on this side.
Three ridiculous stories.
we here at the Battling Jesters do love to give you ridiculous stories. This half of the broadcast brought to you by...
We just like to laugh at stuff.
True story. This half of the broadcast brought to you by duct tape. if you haven't fixed it, you're not using enough duct tape or whatever.
You know, duct tape is like... the Force. It has a light side and a dark side and holds the galaxy together.
Yeah, well, the thing about duct tape is, you ever tried taping a shoe up with duct tape?
Yeah, actually.
Doesn't work.
Well, you're not using not enough.
Yeah, that's what they say, isn't it? You ever tried taping up a box with duct tape? Also doesn't work.
Depends on what type of box and what you're using it for.
Yeah, well... Either way,
if you can't fix things with duct tape and hammer, it's not worth fixing.
That's what they say.
So, but back to the reason why we started that Let's It Own in here was because of the next story. Antarctica's extreme salt-loving microbes like to swap DNA. Oh, yeah. Giggity.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we could do two different songs.
The microbes living in Antarctica's saltiest lake swap huge chunks of genetic material as means of surviving their harsh environment, a new study finds.
Give it to me, baby.
Yeah, the single-celled organisms called Haloarchaea, for their salt-loving ways, are biologically distinct from bacteria, algae, and other tiny creatures that thrive in extreme settings.
Very cool. So give that to me in layman's terms, sir.
Well, it sounds like basically these are specific creatures that can only live where they live. And to survive, they exchange DNA from each other to keep warm.
That's crazy.
Giggity.
Come here, baby. Let's exchange some DNA.
And
it takes it to a whole other thing.
In the lake that they're living in, it is about 50 meters below sea level, but it's so salty that it's never been known to freeze by humans in the Antarctic. It's as cold as minus 4 degrees Fahrenheit or minus 20 degrees Celsius.
For those of you listening to us in
Canada.
Do we have any listeners in Canada?
Who knows? Some maybe Blue Jacket fans.
Hey!
One unusual survival technique has been found. The handful of Haloarchaea species in Deep Lake exchange DNA according to the study published on Journal of the National Academy of Sciences. Though each species is specialized and has its own niche, such as eating proteins or sugars, they come together and trade chunks of DNA, some as long as 35,000 letters of code. That's a lot of code.
Yeah, it's pretty small, though. So basically what we have here are a bunch of microorganisms that really like to be cozy. And why not? Minus 4 degrees? Well, I'd like to be cozy, too. I can believe that. So extremophiles, they call them. It's kind of like those fish that live so far under the sea that they've, like the little fish with the lamps on their heads.
Yep.
They've developed some sort of natural thing to hold themselves together so they can see. Or they just have immunities. These little buggers are keeping themselves alive. And apparently, it's so salty you could preserve a cow in there. So, drop it in, baby.
I think just that cold weather would keep the cow okay.
Haloarchaea. That's a pretty cool name.
Interesting story that I found.
But they're not bacteria or algae or anything else.
No, they're completely new biologically distinct organisms.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Generally, when you get news out of Antarctica, you're going to get something cool like this. Just the fact that not a lot of humans have been there means it's a pretty safe area. The fact that it's cold year-round keeps everything fairly, I'll say sterile, fairly held together, maybe. Antarctica is a fascinating place. If you ever really want to get lost in science, just look up articles on Antarctica. Just all sorts of great things out there.
They swap more than genetic material with each other as well.
Ooh, baby.
Long stretches of virtual identical DNA are exchanged between different genera, not just species.
So incest everywhere.
Despite this rampant gene swapping, the different species are maintained and can coexist because they have evolved to exploit different niches and consume different food sources.
So basically, they're indestructible.
Until it gets warm, hopefully. Yeah. Catch them on fire.
Something like that. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And the picture of this place, it's called Deep Lake. It's gorgeous. I mean, that's about as blue as water's going to get.
Yeah.
So.
And just imagine Could it be the thing if these evolve farther? Antarctica, the thing.
Yeah, I mean they've made video games about that guy, so why not? I mean things like that. That's just crazy to think about. So, Antarctica. Thanks to NBC News for that one.
Yep, as always.
Good stuff. So let's move on to a funny story.
Even more ridiculous. This man was arrested in Fort Lauderdale, but I don't think we can say his name correctly.
Why not?
He's 54 years old. He was charged with assault, disorderly conduct, resisting an officer, possession of alcohol in an open container, and violation of probation.
Ouch.
But I just don't want to... His name is Jack Me Off Mutt.
Hello!
He's being held in Fort Lauderdale County, or Broward County Jail, which is close to Fort Lauderdale, for a $300 bond, which
you can't borrow. How much for Jack Me Off Mud? $300.
Mud is not the first jailbird to have a strange name, of course. In Wisconsin, police booked Bezo, Doodoo, Zopabitty, Bop, for multiple charges.
How many bops?
Well, Zopabitty, Bop.
Wow.
And on the flip side, a woman who tried to stop three brothers from robbing a Texas Walmart last year turned out to be named Monique Lawless.
A cousin of Lucy Lawless.
Yes, clearly.
Oh, well, that's fun. She probably flew in there on a vine.
Did he change his name, or did he just like the name?
Well... Give it to me one more time.
Jack Me Off Mud.
Jack Me Off Mud. So basically, his name is Jack Mud.
But it's... No, it's Jack Me Off.
That's all one word?
J-A-C-K-M-E-O-F-F, all one word.
That's all one word.
All one word.
See, now...
Only the J is capitalized.
I've seen... No way.
I'm just... unless the M... You thought the M and O might have been, like...
That's unreal. Now, I've seen the name Meoff, M-E-H-O-F-F, before.
That's usually a last name.
Exactly. Though. I can't... Here's the thing. When you name a child, I don't know. There's kind of rules that go into, like, things that you can't name your kid.
Yeah.
Even though there's a bunch of kids out there whose names are Jesus Christ and things like that.
Jesus.
Right. Well, no, I'm like American people named Jesus. Well, Gigi Allen. Gigi Allen's name is Jesus Christ. And look how that got him in life. But, Jack Me Off.
Or a kid with the last name Hunt, the parents know for a fact, naming the kid Mike.
Right. I mean, that's terrible. Well, it's like the guy who won American Idol, Philip Phillips.
Yeah.
That's his real name.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. I mean, I used to work with a guy. His name was John Johnson.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, John Johnson.
Some other odd booking names. A man named Mr. Love.
Mr. Love. Ow, ow, ow,
yeah.
Ow.
Another man's name, Joseph Moron. M O R O.
What was he arrested for? I gotta know.
It doesn't really say. It's just on a Colorado's NBC News report. It just shows it there. It's like a clip of
Joseph Moron.
Really?
At least it's not Jack Me Off Moron.
You gotta know. This guy, you know the name, and you know he has to have done this. Patrick Molesti.
Molesti?
M-O-L-E-S-T-I.
At least it's not Chester Molesti.
Yeah.
Nah, Molesti's, I got a guy in, strangely enough, Madden Football who has the same last name. He's a fullback, but,
Sex offender in Elkhart, Indiana, named Tyrannosaurus Rex Mullins.
Not in bed, he ain't no. That's how that story goes.
Answer.
No wonder he's sexually frustrated. Oh, we've stepped up to PG-13.
A man who did a bomb scare named Draco Slaughter.
Draco, that's a badass name.
Yeah.
That's the manly man right there. Too bad he made such poor life choices.
That's
like the Antichrist.
90-year-old man busted in Cincinnati. 90-year-old man busted for public indecency. His name, Leonard G. Dickman.
I wanted to go out with a bang. I'll show him my Leonard G. Dickman. I had a friend named Richard Richardson, too.
Wow. School bus driver in Jamestown someplace. It's 10 NBC, so it's nowhere near us, hopefully.
Mm.
Accused of exposing himself only one bus at a time on school property. Charged with public lewdness, named Daniel Nudie.
No.
Yep.
No.
N-O-O-D-Y. Nudie.
Wow. Daniel Dickens. Wow.
Murder suspect Dal Capone Al Pacino Morris.
What?
Suspect Dal Capone Al Pacino Morris.
Wow.
D-A-L Capone space capital A-L Pacino space Morris.
That's just bad parenting. Okay.
Well, this kid is clearly going to become a criminal. Like Al Capone.
I could understand if your last name is Thomas and you wanted to name your kid Thomas. But, I mean, I'm sure there are parents out there who have named their kids Jones Jones. That's a terrible name.
This looks like a girl, but they're saying the picture is of Donald Duck.
What? Are you serious? Wow.
Is that a girl or a guy?
Apparently it's a very confused man. Yeah. If my name was Donald Duck, I don't think I would be living that good of a life either.
So that was all the other 10 names that they had on the game story.
Excuse me while I breathe directly into the mic to clear all that madness out.
Jack me off mud.
Oh, my goodness. So which one of those do you think is the worst?
We'll let people comment in the comment section.
Oh, my goodness. That's embarrassing. All right. Well, also talking about people who were arrested, any sports fan knows, but Bernie Kosar was arrested the other day. Pretty good story there. He was pulled over to the side of the road, former Browns quarterback, pulled over to the side of the road, under suspicion of drunk driving. He handed the police 2 credit cards when they asked for identification. If you ever want to know if you're drunk, that's a good way to start.
Yeah.
And then when the police asked for his driver's license, he pointed to one of the credit cards. That's nice.
When he asked to recite the alphabet, asked to start with E, he went E F G P L M N O Q.
Close enough. But then the fun part, and I guess Bernie not ever making it to the Super Bowl finally is caught up with him. And honestly, well, it's not all his fault. But the officer asked Kosar if he had any problems that would prevent him from standing on one leg and walking and turning. And Kosar said that he'd have several surgeries on his knees and ankles because his line couldn't block.
They couldn't.
Ouch. Ouch.
Good old Kosar.
The story ends up saying no word on whether he blamed his old coaches for not teaching him the alphabet or if his receivers from that time
for him not being able
to focus his eyes.
Ah, good old Bernie.
Well, if you listen to any of the Browns preseason games this year, they had Bernie doing them. And he was doing them last year, too. And he sounded like he was drunk each time.
Well, how could you watch the Browns without being seriously, people?
I guess if you're Bernie Kosar and you had to endure the drive, the fumble, Brian Sipe. I know he was there, but still.
When have the Browns ever been good?
Before any of my parents were born. Well, Bernie, that's pretty interesting. Obviously, he still has his wits on him to blame his offensive line. I mean, and things like that. That is obviously on the forefront of his mind, so he obviously thinks about it all the time. Bernie Kosar's a hero in Cleveland. Cardiac kids. Hopefully he'll be able to get himself better. I just think that's one of those stories that you hear on TV and on a sitcom or something. Well, why can't you do the sobriety test? Well, because my offensive line couldn't block you. Bernie Kosar said that. A true story that we don't make these things up.
You look cute.
Oh, I really want to kiss you. I remember watching that live.
So did I.
Oh, I don't even know why I was watching that game. Because
it was a Monday Night Football.
Oh my god, that was so sad. I mean,
Joe
Namath was never even a great quarterback. He just happened to do one thing in his life to forever label him a media icon.
Winning in New York City gives you automatic
gold. Well, beating an impossibly difficult team in United is cold.
Guaranteeing it.
I mean, it was great.
What is he supposed to say when asked the question, do you think you can beat these Colts? No, we're not going to be able to.
Just because Johnny Unitas was the greatest quarterback of basically all time at the point.
No, I don't think I can beat him. No, of course I would say.
Whoever goes up against Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl this year from the NFC will say, oh, I guarantee we'll beat him. So there's that. How many stories we got left?
That was the last story I had at this moment in time, but I could possibly pull up more things.
How are we looking on time?
Hey, we've probably pulled about 20, 19 minutes.
No, we still have to talk.
Yeah.
Shout out to our little buddy, Kevin.
Kevin, you'll be also on this podcast as well.
We're glad to have you here. We love to talk about you. We love to talk to you. I know you messaged me the other day, said you'll be in Columbus in a month.
Which will be awesome.
Yep, we'll try to get you on the podcast. So guys, look forward in a month or so. We're going to have Kevin live and in studio with us.
That'd be great.
In our brand new fancy studio, which has a real table.
Oh my lord.
You hear that? It's a real table. Same crappy equipment, same crappy hosts, but this time on a real table. Hello!
Hey, this equipment isn't that horribly crappy.
No. And the hosts are decently good-looking as well, so... Oh, silence, man. Well, at least one of them is good-looking.
Yeah, you.
The other guy has a beard. Just kidding. I've lost a lot of hair in the past year. Oh, I'm looking at a reflection of myself. I need to sit on the other side of the table next time.
Sit over there.
It actually feels really good to be doing this not at midnight, at 1 in the morning.
Yeah, I'm actually awake.
Yeah, I know our final podcasts at that time slot, I was literally falling asleep.
Fighting.
I know the last one we did at 1 in the morning, 1:30 in the morning.
Fighting to stay awake.
That was tough stuff. It's October already.
It is October. It is hockey season,
it
folks.
It is hockey season. Who wants to hear us talk about hockey? Insert sound clip of applause here. No, I wasn't supposed to say that out loud, was I? Obviously, we're not scripted. We've never been scripted.
We've never been scripted. We just bring up story ideas and then come and talk.
We don't even bounce back things that we're going to talk about. We just bust the stuff out on the spot. So, creative genius.
And when we were talking the Olympics, that was just pretty much clearly just off the top of our heads.
That was good stuff, though.
Olympic.
That was good stuff. That was good Olympic.
We could do another one of those this winter, in February.
Oh, man. My brain shut off there for a second.
The Winter Olympics, which will be... Do you like watching skiing? Do you like watching...
I do.
Hockey? Do you like
curling.
Watching... Hurling. Well, yeah.
Curling.
Yeah. Do you like watching guys cross-country ski and shoot guns?
I know. Whoever thought of the biathlon? What kind of weird-ass sport
Norwegians.
Is that? Yeah, I guess. It's like figure skating. Who thought these things up?
Norse and Finns and Swedes, because that's all they do. That's how the Finns defended their country from Mother Russia.
I would rather watch biathlon than the motocross. What was that sport they had this year? It was some motocross thing.
I don't even know.
It was an embarrassment to to X Games. That's for sure.
Yeah, but that cross-country skiing shooting is exactly how the Finns defended against the Cold War that they had against Russia.
I understand.
If you look up the stats of that war, it's like Russia, 185,000 men died.
Right.
Finland, 200.
Right.
And that was when Russia was the USSR.
You don't go into the mountains and fight with the mountain men.
The Finland had a gun that was put on ski poles that was like an elephant gun that was that long, like 20 feet long, that blew up cannons.
Here's the thing. When you say that long on the radio, nobody gets it.
20 feet long.
It was that long.
20 feet long.
I caught a fish this big, guys. It was this big.
Took two people to run it, and those two people would be skiing up, put it on the skis, blast the tank from away, and then ski away.
Don't mess with the Finns, man. Don't mess with Scandinavia. That's where heavy metal comes from.
If you know Risto.
Right.
Do not mess with him. He's
here. I am sitting outside, and I'm like, you guys know Risto, right? Because we were talking about something Norwegian. Oh, it's because Rick Gethin was talking about how his credentials and, when I hang out with the players. And I was like, you sound like Risto, man. I was talking about, when I drank with Spacek and, when I drank with this guy and when I drank with that guy with his accent, man. Always talking about how he drank with these players. Apparently, he drank with every European player, everyone that wasn't Russian.
Yeah.
Every foreign player that wasn't Russian.
Anyone
Rossi.
That's in the Norwegian area.
Especially there. Unfortunately, we haven't had many, but... You know,
that's
everybody loved
that. That's why we need a signed Viking stud now.
Viking stud.
That guy's name is just perfect. Viking stud.
Good name.
That last Olympics 4 years ago when everyone went...
It's a good name, man.
That name is awesome! And they made mock-ups of the NHL for his name on every jersey.
That is a good name. So, alright, well...
This has been a wonderful time. We'll try to do it before Halloween.
Yeah,
so we can say that this wasn't our Halloween podcast.
Yeah, we'll do a Halloween podcast in 2 weeks or something.
Sounds like a plan.
Don't know if we'll do it every week, but we'll bust something out.
Use of the spooky.
Got to remind myself to get away from the microphone when you're going to be that loud.
Do the time warp again.
That's right.
All
right,
guys. We are the Battling Jesters. My name is Ed.
My name is Jesse.
And you guys have a wonderful night.
Ow, chicka, ow, wow.
See you in your dreams. Oh, come back anytime. Bring your friends.